In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
I guess today I'm going to talk about John's Gospel, the two unnamed people. The two unnamed people. So I'm going to read from John's Gospel, and it's the first chapter. "Again, the next day after John stood, two of his disciples were there, and they were looking upon Jesus as he walked. And John said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard John speak, and immediately they followed Jesus." So we know there are two disciples. "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, 'What are you seeking?' And they said unto him, 'Rabbi,' which is interpreted master, teacher, 'where do you dwell?' And Jesus said, 'Come and see.' And they came and saw where he dwelt, and they stayed with him that day, and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon." This was very significant. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, these two disciples had their lives changed. They remember the time. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." And we know the next thing that happens is he brings Peter to Jesus. But we do not remember the name of the first. Now we know who it is. It is the beloved disciple. It is the beloved disciple. He is the other man. But his name is not mentioned. His name will be mentioned never, ever, ever in John's Gospel. He will always be called the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. But his name, John, is never mentioned. Now, there's something else or someone else who's never mentioned in John's Gospel. "On the third day," this is chapter 2, "there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." In John's Gospel, her name is never mentioned. She is called the mother of Jesus. "Neath the cross of Jesus stood his mother." So there are two people in John's Gospel that are never named. John, the young boy who wrote the Gospel, and the mother of Jesus, Mary. Now my question is, why are they not named? Now you can come up with 1,000 answers, but you know what? I think I came up with the best one. I must have been inspired, because I'm reading it in my Bible and I don't even remember putting this there. And this is what I wrote. "Could it be that the mother of Jesus and the beloved disciple are not named by name, for their identity was totally wrapped up in the love of Jesus Christ and in the person of Jesus Christ? Could it be that John the Beloved and Miriam of Nazareth are not named in John's Gospel because their lives are totally wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ? She who gave birth to him, she who conceived by the Holy Spirit, she who was with him at every part of his life, could it be? And he who loved him with more love than ever, they are not mentioned because maybe that their lives had been so in him. Not that they ceased to exist, but they lived no longer for themselves, but for Jesus Christ. We remember the apostle saying that I live no longer I, but Christ lives in me. Could it be that they were the two that completely found themselves and lost themselves in the person of Jesus, and therefore they are not named? Because you cannot name their names without proclaiming the name of Jesus. I don't know. I cannot tell you that this is absolutely true, but I do know that these two are not named, and these two were the closest to him by far above all people, the one whom Jesus loved, and the mother of Jesus. Could it be that you, who seem to be, oh, so insignificant, oh, you do not stand up in front of people proclaiming the word of God, but you're hidden in your little prayer closet, and you pray, and no one sees you but God. Could it be that God has kept you hidden and nameless to the world because your life is wrapped up in Him? You wake up and you begin to pray. In the middle of the night, you wake up and again you pray. You begin to intercede for people you don't even know. You see pictures of people in your mind and begin to pray. Or you know that someone's in trouble and begin to pray. But who are you? To the world, nobody. You are not one of those names that stick out, that people come to listen to. You're hidden. So hidden. So protected. Could it be that you are one of those? You know, I believe that those people hold the world and the church together. They are the nameless ones. They are the ones who seek the face of the living God. They are the ones who call out night and day and ask for mercy. I believe these are the people that keep things together. You know, when I do something and God uses me, I often think, you know, I wonder who it is in South America who's praying for me, that she doesn't even know my name. I wonder who it is in this great body of believers that are constantly before the throne of God, interceding night and day. I wonder who it is, because what has just happened is way beyond anything I could ever imagine. And who are these people? Well, we have a feast for them. They call it All Saints' Day. These are the ones that have gone through the period of great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them clean in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, these hidden people have gone through the period of great tribulation. Great tribulation. And they have washed their robes and made them clean in the blood of Jesus. Where would we be without them? You have no idea, and neither do I. They are the hidden ones, the nameless ones. And yet, their vocation is far more important than mine. They are the ones who hold me up, even though they do not even know who I am. This is amazing, you see, because the Lord doesn't see the things that we see. He sees differently. You know, when someone is on the platform, everyone thinks, you know, this person is so great. But the great people are the people behind the platform. Those that are interceding. Those that are praying. Those that are worshiping. Those that speak the name of Jesus with love. You see, we see things the way men see things, and God sees things differently. For Isaiah says, my ways are not your ways, and your ways are not my ways. But as far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. See, we see things so differently. We see the glitter. God sees the substance. And you know, we need the ones who speak. We need the ones who gain the attention of people so that they could give their life to Christ Jesus. But we need the hidden ones more. For if we are truly the body of Christ, that means that we are all connected and that all glory goes to Him and that only the Lord knows who it is that does these things. It is Jesus, but working through those nameless people. Yeah, the mother of Jesus is not named, and neither is John named. Maybe because their life is so wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. Maybe because they live no longer, but it is Jesus who lives in them. The early church fathers saw this in Mary. They called her the full moon. What does that mean? Completely reflecting the light of the sun. No light of her own, but the light of Jesus. The full moon. And maybe, you know, you are not the full moon, and neither am I. But you know, a half moon is better than no moon at all. And even a crescent moon that sheds light is better than no moon at all. Because the world is in need of this light. This reflected light that shines on the face of Jesus. For the Word of God says that the glory of God shines on the face of Jesus. This light that shines on the face of Jesus is eternal light. And it is a light that enlightens all men. John says it's the light that came into the darkness. And the darkness could not comprehend it, overcome it, blow it out, extinguish it. This light is ever so needed, and it comes through God's people. For the Lord said, you are the light of the world, but the light that we carry is only reflected light. It is no light of our own. And as much as we die, that's as much light that we shed. As much as we die to ourselves is as much light that we shed. As much as we are broken before the Lord is as much light that we shed. As much as we are dependent upon Jesus Christ for every breath, it's as much light as we shed. Their lives were totally wrapped up in Him. Totally wrapped up in Him. That they did not have to have their names mentioned at all in the Book of Life, which is called the Scriptures. It's not about having a big name. It's about showing people who He is. So let's look at this first chapter of John again. We're going to see what it means to be apostolic. Like, what does it mean to be apostolic? You see, as Catholics, we believe that the priest has apostolic succession. That means that people who have laid hands on me are people that the apostles laid hands on. That goes all the way down, okay? But what does it really mean to be apostolic, okay? Apostolic succession is real. But what about being apostolic? Let's look at it, okay? And we're looking at the first chapter of John, verse 40. And one of the two which heard John the Baptist speak followed him. His name was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is the Christ. And he brought his brother to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, you are Simon the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which is interpreted stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he found Philip, and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael, and said unto him, we have found him of whom in the law and the prophets, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We remember that at first, after Philip found Nathanael, Nathanael didn't believe it. until Jesus said to him, I saw you under the fig tree. What does it mean to be apostolic? I'll tell you what it means. You see, I can have all the apostolic succession that I want, but to be apostolic means to bring people to Jesus, that people would grow in his life, grow in his love, grow in his person, which means I can have apostolic succession and not be apostolic, because the apostles led people to Jesus Christ. The main vocation of the church, according to the documents of the church, to lead people to the person of Jesus Christ, that they would grow in grace. That is the main purpose of the church, to bring people to the Lord, that people might come to know him, serve him, experience his love, and go out after other people. The main purpose of the church is not to run raffles. The main purpose of the church is not to do business. The main purpose of the church is to bring people to Jesus Christ. That means being apostolic. The apostles brought people to Jesus. Paul was an apostle, and he brought people to Jesus. That's what it means to be an apostle, to be a witness of the resurrection, to be a witness of Jesus Christ, that people might come to know, love, and serve Jesus. To be apostolic is not to preach the church, but to be apostolic is to preach Jesus. For if you preach Jesus, the church will be built up. We see that on the day of Pentecost. The proclamation of the gospel was completely given in Acts 2 by Peter. This Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised up to be both Lord and Messiah. And 3,000 men were added to the church. To be apostolic means to preach Jesus, to bring people to Jesus. Never to preach the church, because the church without Jesus is a headless church. Preach Christ, and the church will be built up. Preach the church, and it will dwindle and die. Because the church has a groom, and the groom is the Lord, and he is the head of the church. To preach Christ, to bring people to Christ, is being apostolic. So I can have all the apostolic succession I want, but if that is not my vocation, that people that I have met in the last 42 years, and you know, you can be apostolic and be a layperson. How many people have I brought to Christ when I was a layperson? You know, you don't have to be a priest to be apostolic. You don't have to be a religious to be apostolic. You just have to have that fire in you that wants to bring people to Jesus. Andrew had it. First, he saw and believed. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon when he met Jesus. He never forgot it. And the first thing he did was to go after his brother. Oh, yes, he showed himself to be an apostle. He went after his brother. Philip does the same thing. Goes after Nathanael. Who have you gone after? Like, who have you gone after? Like, who have you gone after? You say it's good news. You say it's the gospel. And you don't extend yourself? Like, give me a break. You know what Peter, you know what Andrew would say? He'd laugh in your face. Said, we stayed with them that day. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I had to go out after my brother. I was compelled inwardly. I was compelled inwardly. Yeah, I don't think people are compelled anymore. I think people just want to hear things that are going to have their ears itch and not have any substance anymore. I think people want to be entertained, you know, want to have a positive gospel. Well, I'll tell you, the positive gospel ended when Jesus Christ died on the cross naked and bled for us. That's positive. But not thinking positively. That's positive. That's life. who brings people to Jesus? You know? Who are the apostolic people? I don't think there are too many. You listen to the people on television and you hear them. It's all about money to keep their ministry going. It's all about money. Send me $150. Give me a break. Like, give me a break. When someone proclaims money for 10 minutes or 5 minutes, they are wasting people's time. Yes, everyone needs money, but I'm going to tell you, when I start preaching money more than I preach the Lord, I think I better quit. Do you understand? Quit, because it's not about money. This January 24th, we've been on 27 years in WEZE. 27 years, and 26 years on January 6th, today, WROL. If I start haranguing for money most of the time and spending time and time and throw me out, you don't need me. I'm building up my own ministry. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Yes, I ask. Because I need to ask. But if I start haranguing and saying, you've got to send me this or you've got to send me that, give me a break. Where is the gospel? Where is the proclamation of Jesus? Where is the Lord in all this? I start wanting to build up my own kingdom. We pray every day, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, not my kingdom. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have enough kingdoms of men and women that have built their own kingdoms. We don't need any more of them. We need the kingdom of God to come in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the proclamation of Jesus that people would give their life to him because he's wonderful. We need that people would hear and believe and be wrapped up with Christ. Oh, yes, if I help you, that's wonderful that you listen. But I'm not the one who saves. My ministry is really not needed. God can do without me. I can't do without him. That's the whole purpose. Wrapped up with Jesus. Who's wrapped up with Jesus? That's the whole point. Who's wrapped up with Jesus? And those are the people that are apostolic. Those are the people that bring people to Christ. Those are the people that do the will of the Father. For this is the will of God, that everyone who looks upon the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. That's the will of God, to believe in the Son, to give the life of your life to the Son, not to proclaim this ministry. This ministry is just a window. It's a window to the Son. And when it becomes my window to myself, it needs to die, because we don't need another Messiah. We've got one, and he will do. He gave his life for you and for me. He was buried, and on the third day rose, and he pours out his Holy Spirit. We don't need another Messiah. We have one. The one who gave his life for you, and the one who thinks of you always with love. Are you broken today? Then give yourself to Jesus. Are you needy today? Then give yourself to Jesus. Do you have no hope today? I know someone that'll give you hope. Lord Jesus, here I am. I come to do your will. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Lord Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Without you, I cannot function. Come and dwell within my heart. Come and save me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Love me with more love than I've ever had. Amen. Let me just say this to you, that today at 1 o'clock we'll be praising the Lord at Holy Rosary, and I think I said at 2 o'clock we'll be having Mass, a surprise Mass. You're welcome to come. Also, Jimmy the roofer, it's going to be snowing. They're telling me Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm going to pray it out to sea. I don't want any more snow. But anyway, his number is very easy to remember, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341. And as I said, I believe on the 24th of January, we'll be, at 27 years, we'll be on WEZE. And today, 26 years on WROL. So I would ask your prayers, because you know what? I cannot function unless people pray for me. I would ask your prayers. And if this broadcast is a blessing, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. I want you to read the first and second chapter of the Evangelist John today. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.